When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Got a beautiful feeling, everything's going my way. All the cattle are standing like statues. All the cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads when they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eye. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. All the sounds of the earth are like music. All the sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree. And old weeping willow is laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
My book, Any Morning That Starts With Alfred Drake Singing, is a beautiful morning, and I think everything will be going our way. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on WPPB 88.3 FM. Today on our show, we're going to do something different. I've never quite yet devoted an entire hour to one performer, but I think if one performer deserves at least 59 minutes devoted to his or her talents, it's got to be Alfred Drake. Alfred Drake, the prince of the Broadway stage, certainly its major interpreter in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and someone with an unparalleled voice and personality. Of course, we just heard him singing the opening number from Oklahoma, which he was in the original cast of in 1943. He was the first person to come on and introduce that music to the world. So that alone should give him an honored place. Alfred Drake was born Alfred Capurro in the Bronx in 1914, and he studied to be an English teacher, but found that he had quite a talent for singing in the choir in Brooklyn, where he eventually moved to. And before he even hit his 20s, he worked on Broadway in a series of Gilbert and Sullivan operetta revivals. And before long, he was picked up and asked to be the understudy in a famous operetta of the time called The White Horse Inn in 1936. So let's hear him tell his own story about how he got to go on stage and what he sang. Over to you, Alfred Drake.
I understudied several gentlemen who were all, regrettably, in excellent health. However, the star that I next understudied was kind enough to fall ill for 9 glorious performances. His name was William Gaxton, The show was White Horse Inn. The role was Leopold, head waiter. And the finale of the first act was...
It would be wonderful indeed if you could love as I love, if in your eyes I could but read your heart's reply to my love, to take instead of always giving. I knew that you loved me too.
Well, with a voice like that, you were bound to be noticed, and he was noticed by none other than Rodgers and Hart, who placed Alfred Drake in their 1937 show Babes in Arms. He didn't have any one of the major roles, but he did sing in the title number and in the chorus, and they remembered him. They filed his name away. Certainly Richard Rodgers did. And for the next 7 years or so, Alfred Drake worked his way up on Broadway. He did some Shakespeare. He did a lot of revues, none of which really remain for posterity. He did, interestingly enough, play Orson Welles in one of those, a spoof of Orson Welles in one of those shows. But as Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein were auditioning the score to Oklahoma in 1942-1943, they asked Drake to go to backers auditions and sing. And they knew that Drake had the chops, not only musically, of course, but had the right artistic sensibility to act the part of Curly in Oklahoma, because that's what they were trying to do, was to come up with one of the very first musicals in which character and story and narrative were incredibly important. And of course, in April of 1943, they opened Oklahoma with Alfred Drake playing the lead. Now, one of the other great things about Oklahoma that made it prominent in Broadway history is that it was really one of, not quite the first, but certainly the first major show to have its most of its score recorded. So in 1943, around Christmas time during musician strike, the cast of Oklahoma went into a recording studio and recorded 12 songs from the score on 6 very thick 78s. And of course, that's where we heard our Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, and you would have heard Drake sing People Will Say We're in Love, and et cetera, et cetera, and so on. But one of the things that's interesting is because they had a small group in the studio, they asked Alfred Drake to sing a solo of Judd Fry's, who, of course, is the farmhand, the sort of egregious farmhand in Oklahoma, because they didn't bring Howard DeSilva into the studio. So here's Alfred Drake singing a song originated by Howard DeSilva, singing actually his he sings about himself. He's singing about this cowhand. So Alfred Drake in the studio recorded one of the great Rodgers and Hammerstein songs, Lonely Room. So here he is from the original cast recording of Oklahoma, Alfred Drake.
The floor creaks, the door squeaks, there's a field mouse a-nibbling on a broom, and I sit by myself like a cobweb on a shelf, by myself in a lonely room. Slants down a beam crossed my bed. Then the shadow of a tree starts a dancing on the wall, and a dream starts a dancing in my head. And all the things that I wish for turn out like I want them to be. And I'm better than that smart Alec Cowhand, who thinks he is better than me. And the girl that I want ain't afraid of my arms, and her own soft arms keep me warm. And her long yellow hair falls across my face, just like the rain in a storm. The floor creaks, the door squeaks, and the mouse starts a nibbling on the broom. And the sun flicks my eyes. It was all a pack of lies. I'm awake in a lonely room. I ain't gonna dream about her arms no more. I ain't gonna leave her alone. Going outside, get myself a bride. Get me a woman to call my own.
Well, no one is second in their admiration of Howard Da Silva's skills than I, but it really is bracing and exciting to hear Alfred Drake sing that song from Oklahoma. With the success of Oklahoma, Drake's career was up and running, and about a year into its run, he decided to go on to another show, an interesting show called Sing Out Sweet Land, which was a review, I guess a sort of jukebox musical of its day, of American folk songs. It was headed by Burl Ives, and Alfred Drake was his second in command, and together they did a lot of interesting songs from the American folk catalog. Here's Alfred Drake and a woman named Al McKay singing a song you all know, even if you don't know these particular lyrics, from Sing Out Sweet Land.
She came right up to
remember, I love you.
It's fascinating to be able to go through these recordings and hear the evolution of a performing artist. Alfred Drake, you would have thought, after those Oklahoma and Sing Out Sweet Land, would have been the go-to guy for American folk music. But his career took a very interesting turn in the late 40s. The shadow of Orson Welles casts a sort of benign penumbra over his career. As I said, he made fun of Orson Welles in a review in the 30s. He went on to do a revival of Cradle of Rock, which, of course, is what Welles had directed back in 1937. And then he did a show called The Beggar's Opera, which was Duke Ellington's version of the Threepenny Opera. And he played McKeith. It's a shame it was never recorded. I've only heard bits and pieces of the score, but maybe someday someone will really attempt that show again. And then, famously, in 1948, he had a chance to really extend his Orson Welles chops into Kiss Me, Kate, which was the first real book musical that Cole Porter worked on. And here he plays Fred Graham, the actor, director, producer, sounds like Orson Welles, who is starring in a revival of Kiss Me, Kate, a revival of Taming of the Shrew with his ex-wife. And as they say, sparks fly and complications ensue. But in one very charming backstage scene, he reminisces about the operettas that frankly, Alfred Drake would have participated in the middle 30s. So here's Alfred Drake and the divine Patricia Morrison from the original cast album of Kiss Me, Kate.
Fred, remember that Viennese operetta when we were both in the chorus?
I beg your pardon, Lily. I was the understudy.
There was a waltz in it, remember? Something about a bar.
Yeah. Madam, you are ravishing tonight. You have made me the happiest of men.
Your Highness.
Wunderbar.
Wunderbar. There's a favorite star above.
What a bright, shining star. Like a love, it's wunderbar. Gazing down on the Jungfrau
from a secret chalet for two,
let us drink Liebchen mine
in the moonlight benign
to the joy of a dream. Wunderbar, wunderbar. What a perfect night for love.
Here am I, here you are.
Why, it's truly wunderbar. Wunderbar, wunderbar. We're alone and hand in glove. It's more than wunderbar.
Say you care, dear.
For you madly.
Say you long, dear.
For your kiss.
Do you swear, dear?
Darling, gladly.
Life's demanding.
And you're mine, dear. Wunderbar, wunderbar. Favorite star above. What a bright, shining star. Like a love, it's wunderbar. Star above, what a bright, shining star, like a love, it's wonderful.
wunderbar indeed, Alfred Drake and Patricia Morrison. Another Alfred Drake factoid is, as I mentioned, he was obviously the lead in Oklahoma, which is the first successful cast album on 78s, and Kiss Me Kate was the first successful cast album on the 33 and a third long playing format. So there you go, two stars. Fred Graham Petruchio is really the quintessential Alfred Drake role. He revived it several times, once on television. And here, to me, is the quintessential Alfred Drake song with such panache and humor and charm and a great set of chops, singing "Where Is the Life That Late I Led?"
Since I reached the charming age of puberty and began to finger feminine curls, like a show that's typically Schuberty, I have always had a multitude of girls. But now that I'm married man, at last am I how aware of my dear departed past am I. Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where has it gone? Gone with the wind. A married life may all be well, but raising an heir could never compare with raising a bit of hell. So I repeat what first I said. Where is the life that late in dear Milano, where are you, Momo? Still selling those pictures of the scriptures in the Duomo. And Carolina, where are you, Lena? Still peddling your pizza in the streets of Taormina. And in Firenze, where are you, Alice? Still there in your pretty, itty-bitty, pitty palace. And sweet Lucretia, so young and gay. What scandalous doings in the ruins of Pompeii? Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where has it gone? Gone with the wind. The marriage game is quite all right. Yes, during the day it's easy to play, but oh, what a bore at night. So I repeat what first I said. Where is the life that late I? Where is Rebecca, my Becky Wecchio? Could still she be cruising that amusing Ponte Vecchio? Where is Fedora, the wild virago? It's lucky I missed her gangster sister from Chicago. Where is Venetia, who loved to chat so? Could still she be drinking in her stinking pink palazzo? And lovely Lisa, where are you, Lisa? You gave a new meaning to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead. Where is the fun I used to find? Where has it gone? Gone with the wine. I've oft been told of nuptial bliss, but what do you do? A quarter to two, with only a shrew to kiss. So I repeat what first I said. Where is the life that late I led?
in society go for classical poetry. So to win their hearts, one must quote with ease Aeschylus and Euripides. But the poet of them all, who will start 'em simply raving, is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow.
Just declaim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a hell of a fella.
If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what Tony told Cleopatra.
If she fights when her clothes you are mussing,
what are clothes much ado about nothing? Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow. With the wife of the British ambassador, try a crack out of Troilus and Cressida.
If she says she won't buy it or like it, make her tyke it, what's more, as you like it.
If she says your behavior is heinous, kick her right in the Coriolanus. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
Thinkst thou?
And they'll all kowtow. Odds bodkins, they'll all kowtow.
Now, you're probably wondering, wait a minute, this is an Alfred Drake broadcast. What are those two guys doing singing Brush Up Your Shakespeare? Well, those two performers are Aloysius Donovan and Alexis Dubroff. Do you know them? Have you heard them before? Yes, you have. They're actually pseudonyms for Alfred Drake, who sang both parts in that version of Brush Up Your Shakespeare, and two obviously different characterizations from a 1959 studio recording. Aren't you just amazed at how talented he was? He astonishes me constantly. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on WPPB 88.3 FM. I hope you're enjoying our tribute to Alfred Drake. We have a wonderful website for the station, PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. We have a number of our we have all of our programs, actually, and a chance for you to donate money, which we'd love you to do, and of course respond and let us know what you're thinking and what you're feeling about some of this music we're throwing your way. I hope you're enjoying it. So let's go back to Alfred Drake. Alfred Drake, by 1950, was the number one go-to guy, and Rodgers and Hammerstein went to him to play the king in The King and I opposite Gertrude Lawrence. And Drake, rightfully or wrongfully, feeling his dominant position in the field, asked for more money than Rodgers and Hammerstein were willing to give. So he turned his attention to a musical based on themes of Bardeen by Wright and Forrest called Kismet, where he created the part of the bigger poet Haji and grew out this wonderful goatee, which became his trademark, and just brought his glorious voice and humor to yet another smash hit of the Broadway stage. So we'll hear two songs from Kismet. First, Rhymes Have I, which introduces him, and the incredible signature piece, Gesticulate. Over to Alfred Drake in Kismet.
I bring my own panacea, an iota of iambic and a tittle of trochaic, added to a small amount of onomatopoeia. Lays that sing with rhymes have I, who plays that ring like chimes have I. Happy rhymes
like money makes you sunny. Spicy rhymes like virtue can hurt you. Learned rhymes, the camel's a mammal, and others very various. Sun matters multifarious, like beard, sheared, burnous, loose, stairs, prayers, musk, kiosk, minaret, and parapet, and many more that I'll beget betimes. Rhymes have I, rhymes have I. Learning leads to earning.
Truthful rhyme.
Like drinking stops your thinking.
Healthful rhyme.
Like sinning is thinning. And others miscellaneous on matters more extraneous.
Like crutch.
Clutch.
Look.
Hook.
Vagrant.
Fragrant.
Dervish.
Curvish.
Home.
One.
Caravan.
Afghanistan.
Dromedary.
Very hairy.
Very hairy.
Very sorry. Songs of sense and pertinence in reference to all events and climes. Rhymes have I.
Rhymes have I.
Rhymes has she.
Rhymes has he.
Rhymes have we. Rhymes have we. We have rhymes.
Things are merciful and clement wazir must endure.
How surely one can tell the expert from the amateur.
Dear hand, deft hand, clever and facile extremity, fond companion to me from my birth. Sweet hand, swift hand, spinner of fable and fantasy, faithful friend of my art, would they rend us apart, leaving no finger or fist there, but just the hint of a wrist there. Well then, my spirited wit, my mercurial charm, am I fated to sit with an elbow, an arm, and no digits to top them off, if they lop them off?
Well said, a plea has ever moved a man to shed a tear. Well said, not set well enough if we know our wazir.
How could I plead with you? How could I pray to you? How intercede with you? What could I say to you?
This is becoming a bore.
Like a dog with no tail. Like a spoutless whale. Like an
hold. I'd like to hear a little more.
When you tell a story, amorous or gory, you can tell it best if you gesticulate. Suppose the mighty Sinbad meets a djinn who's been bad. They will guess the rest if you gesticulate. A tongue is a tongue and a lung is a lung and a tail that can shout or sing. Without the gesture, nothing.
Nothing.
Should Scheherazade undulate her body, that can be expressed if you just can be assessed if you just. She'll be undressed if you gesticulate. If I tell you I was walking by the sea and found a genie in a bottle, that's trite.
Quite, for practically everyone has seen a genie. Someone had to throttle in a bottle.
Right, but if I say the bottle was
so teeny,
and so was the genie,
so was the genie,
until with trembling hand I pulled the cork and threw the jug and covered up my eyes. And the smoke began to curl, and the smoke began to swirl, and it curled, and it swirled, and it swirled, and it curled, as higher it did rise, till it was so high,
so high.
And so was the genie,
so was the genie.
Then two great arms reached down, and lifted me up, 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 up into the sky. And we did fly, the genie and I. We did sail, did sail. Is this a tale?
This is a tale.
Are you convinced?
We are convinced.
You see,
you see,
you see. Finger. Listeners will linger. They will be impressed if you just applaud with zest if you just. If it's a question of a story, gory, Sinbad, Inbad, bottle, smoke, genie, arms, fly, sky high, high state, reiterate, gesticulate.
Wow. Does it get any better than that? Alfred Drake at his melodramatic best. Well, Drake had done Kiss Me, Kate. He had done Kismet. He took over briefly for Yul Brynner in The King and I. So those are a lot of K's. So where was he going to turn next? In 1961, he turned to the only musical I know of based on a Jean-Paul Sartre play called Keane, which glorified the life of the great 19th century Shakespearean actor Edmund Kean. And this was written for Drake. It couldn't have been written for anybody else, by Wright and Forrest. It's one of their few original scores. And it stars Drake doing everything he loved doing, making jokes and singing and being romantic and wearing that beard and acting Shakespeare. Here's a number backstage where Edmund Kean, a famous womanizer, is trying to fend off two female rivals backstage. It's gloriously sung, and I think it's also got some great lyrics. Okay, over to Alfred Drake and his two ladies.
Civilized people face a crisis calmly. Never lose their tempers, nor display their spleens. Now, Miss Danby is a pupil here.
Really? What is it she intends to learn?
I'm not quite sure I like her tone. And what's that question really mean?
I'm not quite sure I like Miss Danby. You should give up teaching,
King. So that's the way the play comes out.
So what's the way? What play comes out?
Othello doesn't seem to be the character who's turning green.
Ladies, please. Civilized people discipline their passions. Don't descend to venom. Shun the pronged tongue. Now, Miss Danby's here to be of help.
So I see. How good of her to give herself.
How good to have some left to give. But that's what comes of being young.
Perhaps I should remind you, sir, the child molesters do get
high. They're hanging witches, too, I hear.
Which you should bear in mind, my dear.
I thought that scorpions dropped dead the moment that their sting was stung.
Ladies! Civilized people stay in their own corners. Don't come out hissing like Egyptian asps. Now, your dressing room, Miss Danby, please.
I do not have a dressing room.
Some actor will oblige, I'm sure.
But I don't know their secret door.
You hear these insults rained on me and you do not demur.
Will you allow this slur upon my reputation, sir?
You're acting like the cad they say you are.
I beg your pardon.
You're not a very gallant looking boy.
Now, just a minute. A gentleman is gentle and in general acquiesces, but not when he is leapt upon by leopardesses. How can one be civilized when others are barbarians? Barbarians! 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 Barbarians!
The jungle
rings them round about. How can one be civilized when dealing with barbarians?
Solomon. Have you found Miss Danby a dressing room?
It's waiting, sir.
Thank you, Solomon. Thank you. Civilized people, if perchance they backslide, soon regain their presence and their dignities. Until later.
Until later, my kerchief, please. Until later.
Until later.
Oh, I must have left my gloves.
Civilized people, civilized people,
civilized people,
live in grace,
and ease.
A gentleman is gentle and in general acquiesces, except when he is leapt upon by leopardesses. What a lyric. I would have taken the week off if I had written that. Well, Keane did not take off. It was the last big starring show for Alfred Drey created for him. He did a lot of other things. He was always interested in Shakespeare. He had played Benedick to Katharine Hepburn's Beatrice in Stratford, Connecticut. Loved to have seen that. He played Claudius opposite Richard Burton in Hamlet. You can see that. It was taped. And then after a little bit of time in the wilderness, he came back to Broadway in 1974 for a stage version of Gigi. And Gigi, of course, is the famous Lerner and Lowe film musical that they adapted to the musical stage. It's the first original movie to appear again on Broadway. I think I'm right about that. And he played the part made famous by Maurice Chevalier. That's a real tough act to follow. But he did it again with such panache, and people were so thrilled to see him back on stage that the New York Times Review read, "Thank heaven for Alfred Drake." So we'll hear two songs from the stage production of Gigi, first with Daniel Massey, and then a solo that sums up, again, Alfred Drake's tremendous charm. Here he is as Honoré Lachaille.
Look at all the captivating, fascinating things there are to do.
Name two.
Look at all the pleasures, all the myriad of treasures we have got.
Like what?
Look at Paris in the spring, when each solitary thing is more beautiful than ever before. You can hear every tree almost saying, look at me.
What colour are the trees?
Green.
What colour were they last
green.
Year?
Green.
And next year?
Green.
It's a bore.
Don't you marvel at the power of the mighty Eiffel Tower, knowing there it will remain evermore, climbing up to the sky over 90 stories high.
How many stories?
90.
How many yesterday?
90.
And tomorrow?
90.
It's a bore.
The River Seine.
All it can do is flow.
But think of wine.
It's red or white.
But think of girls.
It's either yes or no. And if it's no, or if it's yes, it simply couldn't matter less.
But think of a race, with your horse in seventh place. Then he suddenly begins, and he catches up and wins with a roar.
It's a bore.
Don't you dream, for heaven's sake?
Dreaming bores me wide awake.
Life's a gay romantic fling.
If you like that sort of thing.
It's intriguing.
It's fatiguing.
It's a game.
It's the same dull world wherever you go. Whatever place you are at, the earth is round, but everything on it is flat.
Don't tell me Venice has no lure.
Just a town without a sewer.
The Leaning Tower I adore.
Indecision is a bore.
But think of pâté, then a fresh tube, brie, then rognon, en rochette, salad, cheese, crêpe Suzette. What a thrill
I build.
The Mona Lisa's form and grace.
Just another pretty face.
Watching wintertime unfold.
Winter really leaves me cold.
But the dawn.
It's a yawn. Life is blah.
Not to moi.
Dull as tea.
Not to me, just to you.
It's a bore.
Poor boy. Poor boy.
downhearted and depressed and in a spin. Poor boy, poor boy. Oh, youth can really do a fellow in. How lovely to sit here in the shade with none of the woes of man and maid. I'm glad I'm not young anymore. The rivals that don't exist at all, the feeling you're only 2 feet tall. I'm glad that I'm not young anymore. No more confusion, no morning after surprise, no self-delusion that when you're telling those lies, she isn't wise. And even if love comes through the door, the kind that goes on forevermore, forevermore is shorter than before. Oh, I'm so glad that I'm not young anymore. The tiny remark that tortures you, the fear that your friends won't like her too. I'm glad I'm not young anymore. The longing to end a stale affair until you find out she doesn't care. Eh? I'm glad that I'm not young anymore. No more frustration. No star-crossed lover am I. No aggravation, just one reluctant reply. Lady, goodbye. The fountain of youth is dull as paint. Methuselah is my patron saint. I've never been so comfortable before. Oh, I'm so glad that I'm not young anymore. The worry if you're the best or worst, and then you find out that you're the first. All others but you, she may enchant. You feel that you should, you do, you can't. No desperation, no midnight pacing of floors. What liberation to know that child on all fours couldn't be yours. Too old for a wedding day in June, but not for a weekend honeymoon. What better life could heaven have in store? Oh, I'm so glad that I'm not young anymore.
As I mentioned earlier, Shakespeare was so important to Alfred Drake personally. He played Iago opposite Earl Hyman. He, of course, did the musical version of Petruchio in Kiss Me, Kate. Let's hear two bits of Shakespeare back to back. This is a soliloquy that Drake did from that production of Hamlet with Richard Burton, directed by John Gielgud. So we'll hear pure Shakespeare, and then we'll segue into the very complex 11 o'clock number from Keane, where he's forced to apologize by the Prince of Wales from the stage of the Drury Lane Theatre, and does so in a remarkable way. But first, one of the greatest lyricists ever, Shakespeare plus Alfred Drake.
Oh, my offense is rank. smells to heaven. It hath the primal, eldest curse upon it. A brother's murder. Pray can I not. Though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my strong intent. And like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin, and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough on the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offense? And what's in prayer but this twofold force? To be forestalled ere we come to fall? Or pardoned, being down? Then I look up. My fault is past.
Let those that play your clowns speak no more than is set down for them. Sweet prince. Sweet prince. What I did in honor, led by the impartial conduct of my soul. Some are born great, some achieve greatness. Pardon me, sir, your bad entertainment. The play, I remember, pleased not the million.
He's not apologizing. The scoundrel is making Shakespeare do it for him, line by line.
Oh, my offense is rank. I would have put my knife into him. This was the most unkindest cut of all. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. But what's done cannot be undone. Alas, our frailty is the cause, not we. For such as we are made of, such we be. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. And on this stage, where we offenders now appear, I will give my thoughts no tongue. Tongues are as keen as is the razor's edge. Aye, but yet let us be keen.
I don't think...
Yes, Your Highness, Measure for Measure, Act 2, Scene 1. Yes, let us be keen.
To thine own self be true. Edmund was beloved, beloved, and ruined love when built anew, grows fairer than at first, more strong, far greater. Give me your hands if we be friends. God give them wisdom that have it, and those that are fools, let them use their talents. Now, play out the play. Now is an ending to confusion. Fate can no more my task conceal. To deal in truth, told through illusion. Othello. Hamlet. Richard. I know.
You create me. You alone make me real. Make me real. Make me real.
Well, princes come and princes go, but there was never a prince of Broadway like Alfred Drake. I can only imagine what he would have done had he tackled, say, Man of La Mancha, or even a show like Sweeney Todd. But we have these great recordings of his heyday in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and I hope you enjoyed sharing them with me. So let's let him take us out of the hour with the finale to Kismet, the tip of the hat to Alfred Drake.
Princes come, princes go, an hour of pomp and show they know. Princes come, and over the sands, and over the sands of time they go. Wise men come, promising the riddle of life to know. Wise men come, but over the silent sands of time, they go. Lovers come, there is to know, lovers know, only lovers know.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.